glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're here. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Hi, listening friend. It's Monday, August 12th, 2013. Oh boy, oh boy. I've been waiting for this time for about a few weeks now. I can't wait to introduce this special guest. Actually, two guests with me in the studio. But it began, I guess, about 3 or so weeks back. I was finally following up on some emails, some that had sat in my inbox for about a month or two. I think I had about 150 at the time, and it just takes forever for me to scroll down and to attend to various ones. And this one had been sitting, but because so many came in after it, it kind of got neglected. And when I finally got around to reading it, I realized, oh, this person had called in and wanted to acknowledge one of her daughter's birthdays, and it already happened a month ago. I thought, shoot, I missed that. Usually I don't let something like that that's timely get away from me, but I did. But I felt kind of bad, so I thought I'd call this person up. Her name was Dolly Redden, and it's interesting because in her book, Songs I Must Sing, which she gave me a copy about a week ago, she wrote, "To Mark, whose telephone call surprised us both!" Exclamation point. And so in the studio with me is Dolly Redden and her daughter, Georgianne. And I'm very excited about this because as we talked through that conversation and I kind of apologized, she said, "Oh, no problem, Mark." And then we talked a little bit more and she said, "Oh, by the way, I recently wrote a book at the age of 91. The Lord put it on my heart to put some things together along with my testimony and some of my poetry and writing because I've journaled for many, many years. And would you be interested in receiving a copy?" And I said, "Oh, absolutely." And she said, "In fact, it's not back from the publisher yet, but I've been asked to speak in Missouri, and I should have them in the next few weeks." So I got it about, I guess, 10 days ago and began reading it and just loved it. In fact, my idea was to begin this program by reading the introduction, which is about 10 pages of Dolly's story. And so you're here in the studio, your daughter is with you, but what I loved about our phone conversation, I'm jumping around a little, but you tracked so well, you were lively, you were God-honoring, you desired him to receive the glory, you joked and you had a great sense of humor. You were like, "Mark, here I'm 92 now, and he's taking me on the road to talk about my book. I mean, what's he thinking? Does he not know I'm 92? And you kind of just delighted in the fact that he wanted to use you at this age, and yet you're very healthy and you're sharp. And when we talked, I was like, you sound like a 50-year-old. You could track everything. You were able to share various stories. And so I count it a great privilege that you're here, that you're going to read some portions of your book for us, and that I'm going to ask your daughter, Georgianne, to introduce you to our radio listening family. So thanks for being available for today, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends.
Well, Mark, I'm just delighted to be here in the studio. And you used two words. You said lively and God-honoring. Mm. And I think you really put mom, that's how I would describe my mother. I am very honored to have her as my model and someone who loves Jesus with all her heart. And I just am so glad that she's going to be able to share her testimony with the listeners.
And I think this is the first time ever, Dolly, that I've had an author in the studio, or for that matter, even being interviewed, that's going to read portions of her own story. And I loved these first 10 or 12 pages or so. I wanted to read them for our listeners. I just thought, oh, you articulated your story, and it's in such a rich way. I like how you wrote it, how you synthesized kind of a lot of your life story. And I thought, oh, this tells a great story, and then I'll just have you fill in points. But then the idea struck me, why not have Dolly read it? So if that's okay, and I don't know if you wanted to say anything else about how God put this on your heart at the age of 91, but I would like you to read your opening chapter, and then we can maybe comment a little along the way. So welcome to the Monday edition of Mark and Friends.
Thank you, Mark. And I'm just so grateful to be able to share my love for Christ and to read it. And I thank you for asking me to do so. So if it's all right with you, I shall begin.
Please do.
A famous artist was shown an 18-foot block of flawed white marble. And as he considered it, he began to see past its flaws to its possibilities. And that cracked piece of marble became the masterpiece David The sculptor was Michelangelo. So it is with our God. He is the master sculptor, and while others see our imperfections and sometimes reject us, God looks beyond our flaws to our possibilities, like pieces of clay to be taken into his artist hands and lovingly remolded into a work of art to reflect the beauty of his Son. How glad I am that as a middle-aged woman, God reached down and lifted me out of the soil of my life and began to fashion me into a new creation, then gave me new songs to sing as well. How I wish there was some way that I could write a gentle prelude to the earlier songs of my life. But I cannot, for I have broken God's commandments, even the one which says, "Thou shalt not kill." There are many ways to kill, and Psalms 140 expresses so well a weapon sometimes used for evil purposes. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Poison is under their lips. My tongue gossiped about other people, and through its poison, I have killed hope, joy, and love just as easily as any gun could kill a human body. And like the Hebrew children who rebelled against God in the Sinai desert and turned to their evil ways, I too rebelled and lived many years to please one person, and that person was me. From my early years when we were poor and lived where some might call the wrong side of the tracks, I nurtured one ambition I'm sure other girls have shared, to become as much like my ideal woman as I could. Except that my ideal woman was not a Mother Teresa nor a Madame Curie. Instead, she wore nice clothes, lived in a lovely house, and belonged to just the right clubs. A pretty big dream for a girl who lived in a three-room house. I grew up in a household where hate was not uncommon, and after years of bitter words and separations, my parents finally divorced. Unhappiness breeds unhappiness, and sometimes children are subjected to emotional stresses far beyond their ability to understand, much less to cope with. As a result, I learned early in life the deceitful ways of playing one parent against the other. I too learned to hate, to lie adeptly, and to hide my real feelings behind a mask of make-believe. When I finished 1 year of business school, I longed to get away from the unhappy circumstances of my life so that I might live as I pleased. And I was offered that chance with a stenographic position with the War Department in Washington, D.C. In the meantime, while awaiting the results of tests I'd taken, I met and fell in love with a young man attending flying school near my home. He was a farm boy just out of college, and when he won his silver wings and the gold bars of a second lieutenant, we were married. I came to him with one medium-sized suitcase of personal belongings and a huge dream of becoming somebody in the eyes of the world. My life as a service wife began with deceit. I made up nice-sounding stories of my life, learned to play bridge and always watching others to learn the social graces that I felt were so important to my new image. Sometimes I even based prospective friendships on what they could do for me. Being an officer's wife gave me a certain prestige I felt was needed. Over the years, we traveled a great deal, both at home and abroad. We lived for a time in both Japan and Turkey. And I began to accumulate things. The Bible tells us in Matthew 6 that we're to store up our riches in heaven, where moth and rust cannot corrupt. But I lusted after all the perishable things of the world. What a fraud I was. I had a wonderful husband, 3 children, a lovely home, and belonged to what I thought were the right clubs. I even worked hard for organizations of the church. How I tried to impress God by showing how capable I was. Yet my heart yearned for more. And there came a time when I hid my wedding vows in a secret corner of my heart and wandered into what I thought were greener pastures, only to carry a new sense of guilt and shame. In looking back, I can see the many times I would feel convicted, then dispel those weepy feelings as emotionalism, for I despise people who cried. There I sat in church pews practicing religion, not thinking that what I might be searching for was God. I wore many masks over the years. The one I wore to church was always attractive, respectable, and well-groomed, as well as when I presided as circle chairman and president of the church women. There were times, too, when I was asked to give the invocation, and nice words were typed on a 3x5 card, and I made sure every head was bowed so no one could tell I was reading. There's nothing wrong with reading a prayer, but mine was empty and got no higher than the platform on which I stood. Those masks I wore at home had become thin over the years and was so much wear, and the real me often lashed out with anger. Yet there always seemed to be two sides of me, the sides that loved my husband and our children, who enjoyed all the family things that we did together, longing to be that person some folks thought I was. Yet the other side always reminded me that without all the pretense, I wasn't anyone people could like. My husband gave me the New Living Bible on my birthday, and that same week I found a poem that was like a knife wound in my heart as I read it. Oh God, I bring to you my shame and sorrow, my tears for yesterday, my fears for tomorrow. I long to be made pure, have done with sinning. God, in forgiveness, grant me a new beginning. I cut that little poem out of the magazine, taped it in my new Bible, and I promptly forgot them both. But God did not forget, for I believe that through that simple prayer, He heard the cry of my heart. In July of that same year, we moved from Illinois to Cassville, Missouri, and I was determined not to get involved with any church activities. But as a believer, my husband always took his family to church. There was never any doubt where the Reddins would be on Sunday mornings. I even liked to ask friends to dinner on Sunday so I could have an excuse to stay home and prepare the food. Shortly after we moved, I became acquainted with some women who smiled a lot, and I could not figure them out. During those summer months when we were building a new home in the country and living in an apartment in town, I made up all sorts of excuses to keep from attending their Wednesday morning Bible studies. Finally, when our home was near completion and our youngest child was in high school, I ran out of excuses. And never will I forget that first Wednesday morning, nor my uneasiness. Some of the women began to sit on the floor as they prayed, and I wondered what in the world I had gotten myself into. One woman asked for prayer for a daughter entering college, and I thought that was a reasonable request. Then a young woman asked for prayer to be less irritable, and I wondered why in the world she bothered God with a request like that. But she knew a secret I did not, that He cares for the smallest desires of our hearts. I heard beautiful prayers for others and felt out of place and would like to have run from that room, struggling to hold back tears yet feeling such a need to cry. I managed to get through that morning and I did not plan to go again. I told myself most of the women were younger than I, and even though one woman near my age chose to sit on the floor at prayer time, I thought she was foolish and knew I would never want to do a thing like that. On Tuesday of the following week, I found myself playing golf with two of those circle members, and both of them smilers. And just as we finished 9 holes of play, one of them spoiled the game for me by telling me Bible study was at her home the next morning, and she was expecting me. I have no idea why I went again, and had I known what was awaiting me, I would not have gone. The leader turned to me and asked that I open the meeting with prayer. And my first thought was not a very nice one. I wondered how she dared ask me. and I didn't have my 3x5 card with me. Yet after an uncomfortable silence, I heard myself speaking these words, "Lord, help me pray." I have no idea what I said, but when I finished, I was sitting on the floor. At the close of the meeting, I surprised myself again. The study had been on the 51st Psalm, and only 6 words from it kept ringing in my ears. "Create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart." I told the group they had something that was missing from my life. Then I asked if they would pray for God to touch me. I thought for a personal request like that, those ladies would go home and pray for me in private. When I realized they were going to pray right there in front of me, I panicked and wished I hadn't spoken. In turn, those wonderful ladies began to lift up my request to God. At that time, I didn't have the slightest understanding of how far God had had to go to lead me to that very moment in my life, with my bucking against Him all the way. Yet something happened to me that day. The mask I had worn for so many years was stripped away, and the real me was exposed, and I didn't like what I saw. Deep within me, a silent sob began to form. And from that Wednesday morning in September until a special day in December, tears came often to me. I, who had despised tears in others, cried often. I didn't realize I was under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I cried in Sunday school, during the sermon, when the choir sang, and as I left church, but especially if anyone mentioned the name of Jesus. I was so embarrassed I began to carry extra tissue in my purse. I have always enjoyed reading, but the Bible always seemed to me a rather dull book. Yet when I took that new Bible from its shelf and began to read the Gospels, hunger for God's Word began to grow, and that hunger has never left me. In Matthew 5, I found the Beatitudes, and they became like throbbing promises to my heart, for I mourned the wasted years of my life, and I hungered and thirsted for righteousness. Then I would see myself with all my deceit, and contrition would wash over me, and so all I could do was to cry. Christmas time came, and I had bought few family gifts. And with the other children coming, I had planned a special day for shopping in Joplin, about 50 miles away. I drove perhaps 20 miles without warning. I began to cry. Then something strange happened. It was as though a ticker tape began moving across the windshield of my car. And as it rolled in front of my vision, I could see my sins written there. Some were written in capital letters. I have no recollection of the rest of that drive other than sobbing and realizing there was another presence in that car with me, and I was not worthy of being near Him. Sometime later, I found myself in the parking lot of a large mall, and I remember asking the Lord to help me stop crying. And as suddenly as my tears came, I felt peace and joy. I was experiencing Isaiah 61:3, "For I too was given the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." I had never seen so many beautiful people as I saw that day. Everyone seemed to be smiling at me. I wished Merry Christmas to anyone who even glanced my way, even those I met in the restroom. Gifts I thought would be difficult to find so late, I found immediately. I must have been there 3 or 4 hours, yet it seemed only minutes. Then I was behind the wheel again, heading home, when once again tears began to fall. Only this time, not from the agony of self-realization, but in silence and grief and from a broken heart. In Psalms 52 it is written, "A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." This is the only way some of us can become aware of God, when we are completely broken before Him. When I got home, there was a note that my husband and daughter had gone to a basketball game. I was so glad to be alone. I went into our darkened bedroom, got down on my knees in a closet, and cried out to God for forgiveness, asking Him to take my life, unworthy as it was, and to do with me whatever He wanted. You see, I had met the living, resurrected Christ of Calvary, and I mourned that I had nothing to give Him, only the ugly, broken pieces of my life. I found out something wonderful, though. He would accept me just as I was. He specializes in repentant hearts, in cleansing and healing broken lives, then filling them with His love. How awesome to think that the same Holy Spirit who brooded over the waters and formed the earth, who hovered over a virgin and planted the seed of Himself within her womb, actually hovers over the darkness of our hearts until we hear His voice and our spirits cry out for union with Christ. He touched me. I'm a new creation, forgiven, free at last, and still being fashioned by the master sculptor's hand. Now tell me, why wouldn't I want to share the beauty of my Lord or the joy of His salvation? Why wouldn't I want to proclaim my love for Jesus? For my life now is like a song I must sing wherever I go and to whomever He sends me. Though I've had to ask forgiveness in many areas of my life, and that has brought much pain, the warmth of His love has always sustained me. To you who are listening or reading my story, if you've not experienced the healing power of Christ in your life, then my prayer is that as you continue reading the following pages of this book, that the Holy Spirit will speak to you through the words He has inspired me to write, and that you will cry out, as I did, for Him to touch you. Then you too can rise up and walk into a wonderful new life with Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Glory to God. And if you, listener, are like me and all of us in the studio, there are tears in your eyes. What a powerful writing. What a powerful story. Thank you, Dolly, for what you've conveyed and written and how you've shared it. This is going to be one of these programs I'm sure I'm going to re-air in the coming days. And there's so much more to your story. And I want to have you stay in the studio so we can continue with tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends to hear some of the details and the joy that the Lord brought into your heart, and how you became somebody in the Lord's eyes, and how He's using you now at the age of 92, 92 and a half. I guess you'll be 93 in April. Thank you, Georgianne, for driving over. And actually, your mom drove in from Danville, so she's very spry, is that what they say, for a senior saint? And we're going to have you back. We're going to talk some more about your book, Songs I Must Sing. To purchase multiple copies for your friends, family members, your church, for that neighbor, your work associate, you can purchase them at creativeforcepress.com, creativeforcepress.com, or on Amazon or Kindle. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.